On Capitol Hill, the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee has introduced a bill to rapidly train up a cybersecurity workforce across government agencies. The legislation targets people who want to make a career pivot into cybersecurity and who don't hold a four-year degree.
Here in Wisconsin, business leaders and educators are gathering for a cybersecurity summit in Milwaukee next month. They'll discuss how to grow the cybersecurity workforce in our state and deal with some of the latest threats in ransomware attacks and hacking.
Milwaukee School of Engineering and Brookfield-based Syslogic are putting on the summit. And here to fill us in is Paul Dukas, Executive Director of Business Development at Syslogic. Paul, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
You're hosting executive talks from big companies here in Wisconsin. You've got Bolt Company, Children's Wisconsin, some others. What is your goal in bringing corporate leaders together around this issue of cybersecurity?
So cybersecurity is obviously a very hot topic. And year over year, month over month, it gets to be more and more of an issue for companies, people, whether it's ransomware or phishing attacks or what have you. So Syslogic, 5 years ago, in fact, during the month of October, which happens to be Cybersecurity Awareness Month, decided that we wanted to hold a summit and focus in cybersecurity to bring leaders and companies together, very much focused in education to share strategies about latest cybersecurity trends, insights, those types of things.
What are the biggest cybersecurity risks that companies like yours are dealing with here in Wisconsin?
So we serve clients across the commercial sector, and there's a number of different trends. Most notably is the intersection of artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. AI has definitely made its move into cybersecurity, both from a bad actor perspective and from a defensive perspective. So that's a very hot topic. And then, of course, there's others like the role of the chief information security officer, the growing need for leadership support for cybersecurity planning and budgeting for companies, different tools and technologies, and what are the types of attacks like phishing, ransomware, so on and so forth.
There was this recent Deloitte study. It found that more than 60% of knowledge workers are using AI tools at work every day. Are the new generative AI tools that people use putting businesses at additional risk?
So anytime you introduce a new tool, whether it's software, whether it's an AI tool or any type of a, you know, quite frankly, internet-enabled function, it introduces some new form of risk. It's, think of it as another access point, if you will, for cyber criminals. So for sure, it absolutely does.
Are Wisconsin companies uniquely exposed in any way to digital threats here? What are like some of the biggest vulnerabilities you hear about?
So let me give you some interesting statistics, and I'll jump into vulnerabilities. But one of the biggest types of cyber attacks is called ransomware. In 2021, about every 11 seconds, a business fell victim to ransomware. That was up from 14 seconds in 2019. The frequency of ransomware attacks on governments, businesses, consumers, and devices, it's going to continue to rise over the next 7 years, and it's expected to hit every 2 seconds by 2031.
Wow.
So when you think about that, you think about all the different digital technologies that companies employ today and people employ today, including, you know, devices from homes, refrigerators to thermostats that talk over the internet to companies and devices that support their businesses. They are all exposed to cyber risk. Another interesting statistic, given the importance of the cybersecurity domain, is job gaps. So according to the U.S. Department of Labor, jobs grow at about 3% year over year, generally. In the cybersecurity space, again, according to the United States Department of Labor, forecasts a 32% increase in cybersecurity jobs from 2022 to 2032. So it's massive. There's a huge gap and a great need.
We're going to talk about the education gap in a moment, but I want to return here to the topic of ransomware. And in May, a ransomware attack hit Ascension, the health system that has hospitals in Wisconsin. It brought down their electronic health records at around 140 hospitals around the country. And in June, as Ascension was still recovering from this cyber attack, we talked with Connie Smith, who's president of the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, and she said some of her nurse colleagues at Ascension St. Francis had never used paper charts before.
We were using forms that were we pulled out of like drawers that hadn't seen the light of day in a long, long time. But I think communication 100% would have helped.
What is effective crisis communication when a cyber attack happens?
So in the world of cybersecurity, there is generally planning around incident response. And organizations like an Ascension Healthcare or other large entities will have very detailed plans on what happens if a ransomware attack occurs. Those plans employ strategies around how do we revert back to maintaining operations for the enterprise, as well as how do we deal with whatever that interval period of time, like in the Ascension case, which took weeks to recover from, how do we deal and maintain operations? So Ascension is actually a very good example, but it's really through incident response planning that entities deal with how do we deal with a ransomware attack if it takes down our core systems.
One aspect of the summit, it features this hardware hacking village, and I'm so curious about what is that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I had mentioned earlier, this is our fifth year of holding the summit. And traditionally, we've taken an approach, and again, we do this year to some degree, where we bring in a variety of different business leaders. But this year, we introduced two tracks. So we have a business track, which will have, of course, panels and speakers and so on and so forth. But we introduced the Hardware Hacking Village as part of our technical track. So for individuals that have interests in really working hands-on with technology like devices, right? Think devices that talk over the internet. This is an opportunity to do so. So to learn about how does cybersecurity affect devices and literally to work hands-on with those products with experts to gain better learning.
Should companies be negotiating with hackers on their data breaches? Is there a precedent with negotiations? Would that be a topic of discussion?
So, you know, I think that's a great question. And each circumstance, whether it's a ransomware attack or other, kind of stands on its own as to whether or not they should or shouldn't negotiate with attackers. You know, that's for their partners, their law firms, and things like that for to decide. I personally don't think so, and that's my personal opinion. I think there's opportunities around incident response and how to deal with hackers and to recover from attacks that should be employed first. And some of these ransomware attacks, I mean, they approach tens to hundreds of millions of dollars in ransom to restore operations, which can obviously become a major fiscal obstacle for public and private sector entities.
The Microsoft Threat Analysis Center has a new report on Russian cyber influence operations, and it really is reflecting the changing politics in our country. It also includes cyber influence operations that are coming from Iran and China. How concerned are Wisconsin companies about foreign actors and the spread of disinformation?
So I had mentioned earlier, we work with a lot of different types of companies, from very large Fortune 100s down to small businesses. I think it's a very significant concern. We hear it from our clients in the services that we perform at Syslogic day to day in working with our clients around cybersecurity. We are extraordinarily sensitive to it. So whether it's threat actors from Russia or China or Iran, it is a very real issue. And the people in organizations that are responsible for it are definitely staying keenly aware to it.
We're talking about the Milwaukee School of Engineering's upcoming Cybersecurity Summit with Paul Dukas, who is Executive Director of Business Development at Brookfield-based Syslogic. Paul, let's talk about education. The summit set at a school of engineering. There was a 2023 cybersecurity jobs report saying there will be 3.5 million unfilled jobs in the cybersecurity industry through next year. How do you scale up this workforce?
So I think it starts with academic entities really investing in cybersecurity programs and degrees. And MSOE has been a leader in that space, which is one of the reasons why not only are they a local partner of ours, but that we do this event with MSOE. So filling that job gap is a critical issue. This cybersecurity summit has been focused in education since its inception 5 years ago. And in fact, the aim is to drive more interest, drive more awareness. Students are all welcome, free of registration fee to participate in the event. And really, education continues to be a big challenge for the space.
What are Syslogic's partnerships like with colleges and in the academic space? What's working?
So this event and our relationship with MSOE has worked very well. Year over year, it attracts more and more student attendees. We have since bridged and have other academic organizations like Marquette University, like UW-Milwaukee that have participated in the past and are participating this year. Not just students, but parts of their organization to speak to their cybersecurity curriculums. In fact, we have a number of partners that support us through this event.
Cyber threats, they're ever changing. And so that means educating this workforce really requires continuing ed, continual training. Is that a challenge for companies?
You know, it has been historically, although what we're seeing with our client base at a minimum is more and more investment in growing their internal cybersecurity resources and expertise. And that comes in the form of many different types of training, a lot of CBT, what we call computer-based training, for example, software developers that work for organizations to better learn how to write secure code and to minimize cybersecurity vulnerability in the products that the companies are building. So we definitely are seeing more and more of a commitment to not only internal training, but then other opportunities externally in the academic environments, as well as to organizations like Microsoft or Google. Or AWS, for example.
When you talk about things like writing secure code and thinking about just the proprietary issues in for each company, you know, I wonder just how can companies communicate more with each other on their vulnerabilities, on their strategies, on their what's working, in order for everyone to be, you know, safer and have more reliable systems.
That's actually one of the highlights of this type of an event, Kate. So this brings together those technology leaders to share what our best practice, what are lessons learned, how can we work together as a cybersecurity community to improve our risk postures, to really improve how do we deal with it? What is healthcare seeing compared to manufacturing? What type of attacks? How have those organizations dealt with them? Those are the types of sharings and learnings that really expose themselves during this type of an event and really where a lot of value is captured by its participants.
What should Wisconsin policymakers be thinking about and working on to address emerging cybersecurity issues in our state and really helping our state adapt to what we're seeing that is changing all around us in the digital realm?
So I think there's an opportunity to focus legislation to support companies in their defenses and the actions that they take to ensure that cyber attacks, when they occur, that they don't have a material impact on how we operate as a state. And then, of course, that scales up through the federal level. Cyber investment at the federal level is, give or take, one of the top three expense line items in the Department of Defense's budget. So what does that opportunity look like? It's really whatever legislation or whatever support the state can provide to companies, public, private sector entities in how do we improve our defenses? How are we working together? More collaboration? And how do we, again, share those best practices to really create as strong of a defense as possible?
Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Keith, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on your show today.
That was Paul Dukas, Executive Director of Business Development at Syslogic, organizing a cybersecurity summit. It's set for October 11th in Milwaukee. Proceeds from the summit benefit a scholarship fund set up by the Midwest Cybersecurity Alliance. And there's more information about the event at mkecybersummit.com.